بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Surah 4, Surah An-Nisa, the chapter regarding women, verse number 23, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions a list of the women that, you know, you cannot marry. For example, our mothers, our daughters, sisters. So one of them there, Almighty Allah mentions, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُم مِّن نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُم بِهِن. When a person gets married to a lady, and that lady has a daughter from her previous marriage, her husband passed on, or he divorced her, now he, the stepfather and stepdaughter, what is the status between the two of them? So Almighty Allah states, وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي. Rabaibukum is the plural of Rabiba. So your stepdaughter. So when you consummated the marriage with her mother, so thereafter, remember the laws of parda, hijab will fall away. Dakhaltum bihinna. So obviously in this case here, that person must have consummated the marriage with that lady there, his wife, and now the stepdaughter and him, the stepfather, the laws of hijab, parda, all will fall away. And they can now travel together. All these type of things would be permissible and acceptable.
Jazakallah khairan for that, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, some days ago, Mufti Saab had given proof and evidence from the Quran of the meaning of Ahlul Bayt. Please do enlighten us once again.
Remember, Ahlul Bayt, here is the word is mentioned 3 times in the Noble Quran. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala mentions it in chapter 33 and verse 33, that is Suratul Ahzab, where Almighty Allah states, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ أَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Chapter 33 and verse 33. Now to understand the Quran Sharif, you must look at the siyaq and the sabaq. You must look at the text and you must look at the context. You see the verses before that, whether it is verse number 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, all to do with the azwaji mutahharat, the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the verse after that, that is verse 34, also to do with the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu our mothers, as enshrined in the Noble Quran, chapter 33, verse number 6, wa azwaju ummahatum. But in the ending of chapter 33, verse 33, Almighty Allah changes it from feminine to masculine to show that some men are also included in the bait, in the Ahlul Bayt, the family and household of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, the sons, the grandsons, the son-in-law. So all of them are included. So we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, will say that who are the Ahlul Bayt? First and foremost, the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thereafter the children, grandchildren, and then you will have the son-in-law. All of them will be included. And on that, there are no two opinions. We have unanimity on that issue. Similarly, if you look at another place in the Noble Quran, Surah 11, chapter 11, Surah Hud, and this is verse number 73. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks about the incident, the event and the episode of Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. His honorable name is mentioned 69 times in the Noble Quran. Ibrahim means Abun Rahim, the honored, compassionate and very kind father. So the malaika, the angels came in the form of human beings, and then they were going towards Lut alayhi salam. If you know Palestine, today occupied Palestine. So he, Khalilullah Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, was based in a place called Kanaan. And he, Nabi Lut alayhi salatu salam, where the people were committing the crime of sodomy and homosexuality, he was based in a place called Sadum, which they call Sodom and Gomorrah. So they stopped there by Khalilullah Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and gave him glad tidings. The first wife, and that is Nabi Sarah radiallahu ta'ala anha, till that point had no children. And the second wife, Sayyida Hajra radiallahu anha, she already gave birth, we must remember, to Nabi Ismail alayhi salatu salam. So now in this old age, they want to give the glad tidings. Listen to the verse of Noble Quran, chapter number 11, verse 73. So she said, that is Sayyida Sarah radiallahu anha, chapter 11, verse 72. قَالَتْ يَا وَيْلَتَا أَأَلِدُ وَأَنَا جُوزُ وَهَذَا بَعْلِ شَيْخًا. She said, you mean I am going to give birth whilst I'm so old, and my husband also is so old. Inna hadha la shay'un ajib. This is something very, very strange. Chapter 11, verse 72, now 73, you listen to. Qalu, the angel said, Ata'ajabina min amrillahi rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu alaykum ahal al-bayt. Are you surprised with the command of Allah, with the mercy of Allah, the blessing of Allah? Oh, you Ahlul Bayt. Who's Ahlul Bayt? The wife of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Sayyida Sarah radiallahu anha, and the son that is born, Nabi Ishaq alayhi salatu salam. So if Ahlul Bayt here refers to the wife, so why in the chapter 33, verse 33, it will not refer to all the honorable wives of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And then the third place where in the Quran Sharif you will find, and remember we have a principle and a usul, it's called Al-Quran yufassiru ba'du ba'da, that if you want to understand the noble Quran, you must look at other verses and they will elaborate and expound on that verse. Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam's honorable milad and birth takes place. That is the year, remember, the Pharaoh is slaughtering the sons and the babies. Almighty Allah is showing his kudrat kamila, his complete authority, sovereignty, majesty. So now the mother was very, very worried. So Almighty Allah told her, you don't worry, O mother of Nabi Musa alayhi salam. What was her name? There are many, many suggestions, but nothing is authentic. Most of it is historical data. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِهِ. Oh, you, the mother of Musa alayhi salam, you continue breastfeeding him. Breastfeeding Nabi Musa alayhi salam. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ. Now when you fear the police are going to come, the army will come, then on Musa alayhi salam you fear. فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي. Then you put him there in the water, in the river, in the sea, whatever. Don't fear and don't be sad and grieved. Inna radduhu ilayk. We will return him to you and he will become waja'iluhu min al-mursaleen. We will make him a mighty, mighty messenger. Such a mighty messenger. His honorable name is mentioned the most in the noble Quran regarding the prophets and messengers, peace be upon them, alayhimu salam, 136 times. This ayat I recited, chapter 28 and verse number 7. Now we go forward. So now the baby is in the palace of the Pharaoh. But everybody tries to breastfeed him, but nobody comes right. No, Nabi Musa alayhi salam's sister was following to see where will this baby, who will pick him up and so forth. So, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِيَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. So we made it haram that none of the women could breastfeed him. He is destined to be a Nabi. And who is going to breastfeed him? فَقَالَتْ. So the sister said, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. Must I show you the household that will take care of him and they will breastfeed him as well, and they are his well-wisher. Chapter 28, verse number 12. Again, Ahlul Bayt is mentioned for the mothers. So it shows either for wives or either for mother. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's honorable wives, they are the wives and spouses of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and our mothers. So therefore, we use that evidence and say, you cannot say that Ahlul Bayt is confined to five people only. Mustafa, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. One question I pose to them, then what happens to the mother of Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha? Why did you exclude her, Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha? So it shows it's impossible. So that is why we say where Ahlul Bayt is mentioned must include the honorable wives of Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously the master is there. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is included. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anhu is included. But with Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, the other daughters also are Ahlul Bayt. They are also the children of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha. Whether it be Sayyida Zainab, Sayyida Ruqayya, Sayyida Kulthum radiallahu anhunna, Qasim and Abdullah, the two youngsters who passed away in infancy, Ibrahim ibn Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose mother is Sayyida Maria Qibtiya. So they all are part of the Ahlul Bayt. May Almighty Allah grant us love for Almighty Allah, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and all the members of Ahlul Bayt, and all the Sahaba, the beloved companions and students of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ameen. Mufti Sahib, is it sunnah to recite Surah Qadr after wudu?
Remember that when a person has completed his or her wudu, then the sunnah du'as one should read are Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Oh you, the esteemed listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you know wudu. But for the benefit of our non-Muslim listeners, wudu is ablution. We wash our hands, including the rest. Then we gargle our mouth. We insert water in the nostrils. We wash our face thrice. And then we wash the hands, including the elbows. And then massage. We put some water on the head. And thereafter, the feet, including the ankles and so forth. So we cleanse ourselves externally. Now to analyze this dua and understand it, so let us read it and translate it. Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin. Ya Allah, my sins are forgiven already whilst performing the ablution and the wudu. So that are my minor sins. So make me of those who will repent sincerely for my major sins as well. So look at the beauty, glory of the dua. Waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Ya Allah, my external body is cleansed now and purified. Make me from those who have internally cleansing and purifying myself. My pride, my jealousy, my malice, my rancor, my hatred. So all these things we purify ourselves. That is the dua Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. And we, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, must believe every sunnah of Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam is khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha, is better than the entire world and whatever it contains, the glitter, glamour, and so forth. And when we practice on one sunnah of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, chapter 3, verse 31, Yuhbibkumullah, fattabi'uni, follow me immaculately, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah. Yuhbibkumullah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins as well. Second dua, we confirm and reaffirm our faith. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. I bear witness and testimony, truly there is none worthy of worship except Almighty Allah Jalla wala, the one and only Supreme Being. And I also bear witness that Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was, is, Aziz will always be the last and final messenger of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Thereafter, you want to read Inna Anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr, Surah Qadr. So remember the first point you must know, it is not Sunnah to read Surah Qadr after Hudu. If you want reference, then go see Al-Maqasidul Hasana by Allama Sakhawi Rahimahullah and them. And so many muhaddisin, they say La Asla Lahu. It is not proven to any authentic sources. However, you get some other muhaddisin and scholars and jurors. They say there are certain weak ahadith that you can prove it. So we will say it is permissible to read it, but you can't say it is sunnah. Always make this distinction. Certain things are permissible in Islam, but you cannot classify it as a sunnah that Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself recited it, or taught the sahaba, instructed them and the ummah to recite it, or a sahabi read it and said, Ya Rasulallah, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading it, and taqdeerun nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took place, the tacit approval, habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of it. We can't find evidence for that. So the fatwa and the verdict will be this: it is permissible to read Surah Inna Anzalnahu, but remember it is not a sunnah of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Salam. Mufti Sahib, how does one distribute the shares of my late mother? She had 5 daughters and 4 sons. 1 daughter is late and 1 son is late.
So it means that now there will be 4 sons and 4 daughters. Is that correct, Mufti Sahib? Just repeat that again.
Mufti Sahib, from 5 daughters, 1 passed away. So that's 4, and 4 sons and 1 is late. So there'll be 3 sons left there.
Right. So now we have 4 daughters and we have 3 sons. So in a case like that, it's very, very easy. So the 3 sons, remember, that will be 6 shares. And thereafter, the 4 daughters, so will be 4 shares. So total will be 10 shares. So if you, the mother who passed away, you left 100,000, so then each son will receive 20,000. So that is now 60,000, double the amount. And the 4 daughters, they will receive 10,000. So that will now be 100,000. So whether it's 1 million or whatever it is, so you have 10 shares, so you just divide that into the estate and so forth. However, when a Muslim person passes away, then the first thing we do is from the estate, the burial, funeral expenses. And if somebody, the son's daughter, family, friends want to pay for it, so that's fine, permissible. Number 2, the debts of the deceased must be paid. And remember that whether it's personal debts, financial, corporate debts, business debts, all that, and the debts must be paid to the creditors and expedited. And third one is wasiyah. Wasiyah is for non-heirs. Whether it is an organization, whether it is a person, a Muslim, non-Muslim, and those people you bequeath for them, adopted children, for example, or you must remember ABC organization. So remember that justice delayed is justice denied. So all this must be expedited. So 2 conditions. It must be non-heirs, and number 2, maximum amount, 1/3 of the total estate. And 4th one will be the shares of the heirs. So what we did here, we said that there are 3 sons, so for them 6 shares. And we said there are 4 daughters, so 4 shares. So 10 shares, and then we told you 100,000, 20,000 each for the one, each son, and 10,000 each for each daughter. Before we continue, I've got one quick announcement, inshallah. This week, Thursday in South Africa, we know it is the 24th of September, and they call it Heritage Day here in South Africa. So anyway, what we decided is, inshallah, I must thank my colleague, Maulana Khalid Yaqub, Allah Jalla Wala reward him, 10 to 12, 10 o'clock in the morning to 12, inshallah, midday. So we will have a special 2-hour program, inshallah. insha'Allah, and that will be to discuss in detail the Islamic law of succession, the Islamic law of inheritance. So between 10 and 12, inshallah, the posters and everything adverts will be done this week. We will send it out, and then we will have a replay of that at night on Thursday night between 8 and 10. So for you, the benefit of the listener, make a note of that, diarize it, 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, inshallah, Thursday. So we will have a discussion on inheritance, and it's so important, every Muslim male, female, adult, and child also, because anybody passes away, the first thing happens, remember, is estate. And you whose mother passed away, or father passed away, or grandparents passed away, daily read this wonderful, powerful dua and supplication for our beloved parents, provided that they passed away with Iman and Islam. Surah chapter 14, verse 41, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh, beloved Allah, forgive me, forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. You know how you miss your father, mother, and sometimes you're alone in your room and the tears are rolling down. So that's the time you, son, you, daughter, you should be reading Quran Sharif, Iqra Yasin ala Mautakum. The hadith reported on the authority of Ma'aqil bin Yasar radiallahu an, and mentioned in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, and read Quran Sharif, read Surah Yasin, read Surah 14, verse 41. We give out some charity on their behalf. Then after 1 week, 1 month or so, inshallah, you will see your parents and they're smiling with you and they got white, white clothes on. So that's a sign how happy they are and pleased with you. So do that, O son, O daughter, O grandchildren. Then you can say that you really love your parents, hayyaw wa mayyita, whether they're alive or whether they passed on.
Mufti Sahib, where is Jannatul Baqi and Jannatul Mu'alla, and what is the virtue of being buried there?
Remember, the hadith does not use the term Jannatul Mu'alla or Jannatul Baqi. That is the ulama, they have used this term. The graveyard in Medina Munawwara is called Baqi or Baqi'ul Gharqad. Gharqad means the thorny trees. Those days there were trees there that were thorny, all that are removed, so we just say Baqi. And in Makkah Mukarrama Mu'alla. So remember, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to make dua, the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, man istata'a minkum ay yamuta bil madina falyamut biha fa inni ashfa'u lakum. Whosoever of you can pass away in Medina Munawwara, and not only in Medina, but remember with Iman and Islam. That is the main criteria. Then you must pass away there in Medina Munawwara, and I will intercede for you. So what is the virtue of passing away in Medina Munawwara? Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Islam, will intercede for those pious people who passed away there, they buried there. First and foremost, they will be the ones, the recipients of the intercession and shafa'ah of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, shafa'ati li ahalil kabair min ummati, my intercession, remember, for the people of my ummah who committed major, major sins. Then man mata fi ahadil haramain, that whosoever passes away in Makkah or Medina, then remember, I will intercede seat for them as well. And the hadith will be, and they won't have any fear in Tabarani. So the second place, remember, to be buried is, and with Iman and Islam, is Makkah Mukarrama. So in Makkah there are three graveyards, Mu'alla. If you know Makkah Mukarrama well, first of all, learn to pronounce the word properly. Our people make mala mala, you know, like in Afrikaans, mal mal means you crazy, like, you know. So not mala mala, Mu'alla. Meem, Ain, Lam, Alif, and Aha, Mu'alla. So if you know Makkah Mukarrama, then you will know Makkah comes at a slope. The higher region of Makkah is where the cemetery, the graveyard is. And if you go right up where Sayyida Khadija, our mother, Umm al-Mu'mineen, radiallahu anha, is buried, you will see how high it is. And where your hotels are, the Hilton and Zamzam and all those hotels, so that area is called Misfala. The lower region of Makkah Mukarramah, Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain and Majidul Aqsa. So to get buried there with Iman, Islam, great, great virtue, they will be the second group of people. Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for them. And then the famous graveyard nowadays is there in Shara'i. Shara'i is part of the Haram also. You hear the after Farz Salat, they announce As-salatu alal amwat yarhamukumullah, that Allah have mercy on the people who passed away. So 90% of them now, they take them to Shara'i. My own family members are buried there, some of them. And then there's another graveyard, but that's more like, you know, private. And that is, you must remember, called Maqbaratul Adl, where Sheikh bin Baz and all of them are buried and so forth. So rahimahullah for all the deceased who passed away with Iman. Three stories here, Hafizab. People life stories. You know, Sunday we give stories, Hafizab, so it becomes more interesting, inshallah. In the olden days, okay, first thing, you see this Tuesday, yeah, Wednesday rather, Wednesday. So will be the 23rd of September. So remember, if you know the history of Saudi Arabia, on 23rd September 1932, so Saudi Arabia, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia came into existence as we understand it nowadays. Before that it was called Hijaz and so forth. So now they'll be celebrating 90 years, because when they count according to Islamic calendar on Wednesday. It's called Yawmul Watani, the National Day. So that's first thing. Second one is this, in the olden days, you know, in time of King Abdul Aziz, time of King Saud and all that, even up to Faisal's time. Faisal was martyred, King Faisal, in 75. When you used to go to the embassy and apply for visa, so the old people, they ask them, for what you going? Then they used to write their little wafat. We're going to pass away in Medina Munawwara. Subhanallah, if you had a good ambassador and he was very kind, you would stamp your passport and would that written there. This person is going to Medina for death in Medina. Obviously nowadays they won't give it to you. But in good old days, that also was one reason why people used to go. Medina Munawwara ki maut naseeb farma. Ya Allah, let me pass away in Medina Munawwara. This I told you before. So today, nowadays, we go a Hajj, Umrah, Medina Munawwara, then they push me in front sometimes. Make dua. So we make dua. Ya Allah, mare Hajj kabul farma, accept the Hajj and pilgrimage. Everybody, ameen. Ya Allah, mare Umrah ko kabul farma, ameen. Allah, accept. Ya Allah, wa ziyarat to Medina Munawwara, accept. Ameen, ameen. The men, women, all. And then I say, Ya Allah, Medina Munawwara ki maut naseeb farma. Ya Allah, let us pass away in Medina, then silence. I ask the men what happened. They say, we want to die, but not now, you see. They become Pakka Hanafis. They say Ameen silently then. And they will tell you that, you know, the rain, the rials in one pocket and the dollars in the other pocket are troubling them. And I ask Kala, who tell you Kala? Kala say shopping baki che. We must still do our shopping. Shopping is not finished. Where are you saying we must die now? So that is the halat of the Ummah today. So remember, it's very easy to say that I love Medina, I want death in Medina. But when the person makes dua, very few people will say, I want death in Medina. Ah, Sayyidina Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, radiallahu anhu arda, it is the ending of the 23rd year of the Hijrah. His dua mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, O Allah Jalla wa Allah, grant me martyrdom in your path. Waj'al mawti bi baladi rasulik. Ya Allah, Jalla wa Ala, let me pass away in the city of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fajr time, he's going and performing imamat. And then Fayruz, Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, the fire worshipper, Zoroastrian came, stabbed him with a dagger. And then after a few days, his dua is accepted. He passes away. And how is it accepted? Buried right next to Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Thani Asnain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. That type of dua we should make. Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us tawfiq.
Jazakallahu khairan for that, Mufti Saab. That brings us now to the ad break. But before that, we would like to inform you and remind you, the esteemed listeners listening to us locally, nationally and internationally, those that are listening to us in Durban and surrounding areas, the decoders available from the Al Ansar shop, as well as from IG Hussein's and at Markaz Sahaba, right here, 189 West Road, Overport, and also from Lanesia, from the head office in Lanesia. Do remember, if you would like to purchase a decoder or even perhaps purchase and donate the decoder, you need to contact our officers. We'll be back with you after the break.
You're listening to Markaz Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program, live from our studios in Durban as well as from Johannesburg, from Lanesia. Mufti Saab, our question for the second half of the program, the second half hour. My two-year-old does not talk as yet. Is there anything I can pray on her?
May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make it easy for you, the parents, grandparents, and the child. So you should read, all of you, father, mother, grandparents, Surah 46, verse 15. Whenever we have problems with our beloved flowers and children, read this powerful dua, Quranic dua, chapter Surah 46, verse 15, 1-5. And it is in the beginning of the 26 Juz, 26 Supara of the Noble Quran. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. O my beloved Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness, improve everything that is good and permissible in my progeny, in my children. So that is the first dua. Second dua you should read. You know, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam used to stammer and stutter in his speech, and Almighty Allah Jalla wala taught him a dua. And we should read all the du'as and the supplications which the Anbiya, prophets and messengers, they petitioned Almighty Allah and they beseeched Almighty Allah in the Quran. So many du'as of Anbiya, prophets and messengers. You know, before I start tafsir, before I start a certain lecture or what have you, sometime we announce it, sometime in our heart, in our mind we read. This morning I had program in Dalum Zakaria, so before starting I read. So you must read Surah 20 and verse 25, 26, 27, 28. Rabbi shrah li swadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Oh beloved Allah, you open my heart for me. Make my matters easy for me. Remove the knots in my tongue so that they, the people, can understand my speech clearly and properly. Chapter 20, Surah Taha, verses 25 to 28. So what you must do, your baby is 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. So you, the parents, read these verses and then you blow on them. You must do that with yaqeen. Blow on the water, blow on the zamzam, and whatever it is, ordinary water, and the food also. And then you give that beautiful flower of yours, that handsome son of yours. Never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Nabi Musa alayhi salam stammered and he stuttered in his speech. But remember that the tinpot dictator, the big pharaoh, he brought him to his knees. That is what Almighty Allah did. So you must remember that the dua has such impact. We must remember. So each one of us, even for ourselves and for our children, always read Surah 46, verse 15, and read Surah chapter 20, verses 25, 26, 27, 28, and give out charity daily. Allah Jalla wa'ala will make it easy, and your son, your daughter will start speaking, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, what does it mean a person has no share of Islam if he leaves Sada?
If a person does not perform Salat, we are speaking about the five daily, obligatory, mandatory, compulsory Salat. So if you study the Ahadith, if you study the verdict of Sahaba, and you study the verdict of some jurist, then you will understand it. You see, Quran Kareem teaches us, when people land up in Jahannam and in the Hellfire, then they are asked, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What made you land up straight in Jahannam. You went straight and you landed up in the hellfire. So the first thing they will say, قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُ مِنَ الْمُسْوَلِّينَ, that we should not read and perform salat. So it shows when a person does not read salat, then remember he lands up in the hellfire. He doesn't have a share in Islam. And this is enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 74, Surah Muddathir, chapter 74 and verses 42-43. So that's your first dalil, first evidence. Second one, remember if you open Musnad Ahmad and many hadith kitabs, you will find man taraka salat mutaammidan faqad kafir. People who must their salat deliberately, they're watching movies, watching soccer, cricket, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, playing with their laptop and playing with their cell phones and all. I said, no, I went to the beach and I missed Zohar Salat. I just went, oh, they take it light also. So people like that go out of the fold of Islam, Allah forbid, if you take the literal meaning. And then if you go to Sahaba and if you want a reference of this, go open Sahih Muslim. Majority Sahaba used to say, I'm not speaking of a person who rejects the compulsion of Salat. On that, there's unanimous decision. Such a person is out of the fold of Islam. We are speaking of ma hukmu tariki salat, a person who misses the first salat. So majority sahaba says out of the fold of Islam, his nikah is broken and he will not be buried in a Muslim graveyard. And if you want all the details on this, then Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he's mayanaz to talib ilm, he's mayanaz tilmid, he's prominent and his greatest student Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, his celebrated student was Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, wrote a book called Kitab al-Salat, which I have. So in there you will find all the evidence for that. And then if you go to the jurors and the scholars of Islam, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, the Hanbali school, till today that is their fatwa, that such a person is out of the fold of Islam. However, majority scholars, we say the person is a Muslim, that is Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, but he must be punished for missing the Salat. Shafi'is, Maliki's say capital punishment, the death penalty. Hanafi's say he must be imprisoned, incarcerated, till he or she makes tawbah or they pass away. So it shows it's a serious, serious sin. And how light we take it today, that petty, petty excuses. You ask people why you must Salat. They said, I woke up late. And that's not a valid excuse. So every day you wake up late, you got the plane to catch, you got this, then they'll never miss. So when that importance is embedded in the inner recesses of our heart, then you will wake up the Hajjud time, not only Fajr time. I'm going fishing, so therefore we must Salat. So what excuse is that? So each one of us must realize, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. The first thing which Almighty Allah will question us on the day of justice will be regarding our Salat. See, I teach you three things of Salat. Number one, Salat. Why is it called Salat? As-salat as-silatu bayn al-abdi wa rabbi. Me and Hafiz Hussein Wadi, we are cousins, we are relatives, example. So now I visit him, he visits me, all that, you call that silatul rahim. Anyway, Hafiz Wadi, I have very good contact with your brother here, Haji Harun, I call him. So many times, mashallah, he picks me up for salat, because when I go walking, he sees me, then he'll pick a U-turn and pick me up. So anyway, you must remember that. So we call that silatul rahim, that the family ties to maintain it. Then this is sila, that is link, connection, nexus between the servant, slave and Almighty Allah. So that is salat, number one. Number two, everything Almighty Allah Jalla Wala made compulsory on the land and sand. When it came to Salat, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala extended the invitation to Habibuna Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasool Allah, Ya Nabi Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you so said. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha passed away. Abu Talib, the uncle of Nabi Alayhi Salam, he did not bring Iman and Islam, but Nabi Sallallahu was said. So remember, because he defended Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam on many different occasions. So that year is known as Amul Huzan, the year of grief and sadness. So Almighty Allah says, Ya Nabi Allah, Ya Rasulullah, let us take you now for the miraculous nocturnal journey from Makkah Mukarramah to Masjid al-Aqsa, chapter 17, verse 1, that is beginning of 15 Jews, 15 Subara. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-Masjid al-Haram ila al-Masjid al-Aqsa. So that is the first part. There Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Anbiya, the Prophet's messengers, met Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two rakat salat was performed. From there the Mi'raj, from Aqsa al-Mubarak to the seven heavens and beyond. There salat became compulsory, namaz became compulsory, to show the importance of salat. See, salat became compulsory in the heavens and skies. Everything else became compulsory on the land and sand, to show you the significance and importance of salat. And third one, when we are meticulous and particular with our salat, safaran aw hadara, whether we at home or whether we traveling by plane or by train, so we must ensure we read and perform our salat on time. Then what will happen? Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. When you perform your salat regularly, punctually, with devotion, concentration, the barakah, blessing of that salat, will prevent you anil fahsha, from all types of obscenities. Look at the pornography today. Look at the indecency today. Just yesterday I read a ruling by the court. They say adultery with a married woman, meaning somebody is married now, and you must remember she's got a husband. Another person commits the crime of adultery with that person's wife, so he, the first, that husband there, he can't charge this person here. That is the ruling of. So imagine that, what will you say? So they are letting the indecency, immorality flourish and so forth. So Islam says, read your salat, and then you will be abstained. Allah will make it such. You will hate all forms of obscenity, indecency, immorality, wal munkar, and all forms of injustice. Chapter number 29, Surah An-Kabut, verse 45. You show me, and then if you want even further, we can go. Fajr time, we read two rakat salat. You see, I'm here in the studio, and I'm sitting on a chair. In front of me is a desk. So I put my hands there on the desk. I can tell you it's hot or cold. So we thank Allah for the sense of touching. Zuhur time, we just read Zuhur salat, 1 o'clock, quarter past one, quarter to one. So we say four rakats, four units we pray. Why? I'm speaking of the first salat. We thank Allah, the Quwwat, the sense of smell. I just walked in home and my wife made for me a wonderful, sumptuous lunch, you see. So therefore we can function properly with Allah's help. From all four directions the aroma comes, mashallah. Then Asr time, when we finish 4:30, 5 o'clock, we read and perform our Asr Salat. Four units, four rakats again. We thank Almighty Allah for the sense of Samia, our sense of hearing. We can hear the adhan, we can hear the voices, sounds, all four directions. Maghrib time, the sunset, we thank Allah for the quwwat basira and basar, the sight and vision He blessed us. I can see in front, right and left, so we thank Allah for that. And then 8 o'clock, half past 8, 9 o'clock, we read our Isha Salat. We thank Allah for quwwat zaika, Ya Allah, You gave me the sense of taste, every liquid, every solid, I have wonderful breakfast, sumptuous supper, and a delicious lunch. So what happens? So whatever we consume, either is sweet, either is sour, either is salty, either is bitter. You show me any religion that can give you something better than Islam. The appointment we have with our Creator five times a day in communication with our beloved Allah. Ya Allah, how can I thank You enough for Your recurring bounties, favors that are showering upon us? Imagine. So that is our Salat, O Muslim. Today, make that promise and pledge to Almighty Allah. Ya Allah, I will never miss a Salat again. I'm telling you, if you make that pledge, you are serious, you will see whether you're in a plane, whether you where. You know, I travel many, many countries with Allah's help. We go through time zones and where. Even the steward, the air hostess will help you out. Sometimes they will tell you, pray for me also. Sometimes they will tell you, we will wake you up, you don't worry, and you won't miss your prayer. So many times. But we must start first. In Tansurullah. If you help the deen of Allah, Yansurkum, Allah will help you. Don't consider the salat. People say, we want justice, we want justice. You can't, we want to stand up for justice. I asked him, you stand up for Fajr Salat. So before speaking of justice and standing up for justice, stand up for Fajr Salat, brother and sister. Then talk about other things. Allah give us tawfiq.
Can you use interest money to repair a borehole, be it for public or private use?
If it is for private use, it's not permissible. You know, in Port Elizabeth, they're facing acute shortage of water. Some dams have run dry in Port Elizabeth, PE, in our Eastern Cape region. Make dua, give charity, 1 rand, 5 rand. Ya Allah, Allah maghithum. Make some arrangements to assist them. The people are living in abject poverty in some places, and there's no water in certain areas. So Allah send the rain and rahmah and mercy there as well. Yesterday, we azan just went here in Indonesia, Maghrib time, and subhanallah that we just were there in the masjid, and azan just started, and the rain came. And after the salat, the rain stopped. So it shows that when we read abundant istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, we read salat, we beg Allah, Allah's mercy comes. Istaghfiru rabbakum innahu kana ghaffara. Yursili samalaykum midrara. It rains, you Muslim. It snows in Cape Town. And after 1, 2, 3 days, then you feel so cold. Yeah, in Gauteng, in Durban, and here and there. So see where it snowed, but where was the impact and the effect? We on the land and on the sand, we said istighfar, chapter 71, verses 9, 10, and 11. So we said, astaghfirullah, 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 Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay. Ya Allah, I'm begging you forgiveness. Ya Allah, I'm making tawbah. I'm repenting, I won't go back to that evil and devilish lifestyle. Ya Allah, that is istighfar, istighfar for the past, and tawbah, repenting for the future. So when we say that on the land and sand, Allah Jalla Wala lets the impact go to the heavens and the clouds, so the rain comes down, beneficial rain. So in that way there, each one of us can play an important role. So regarding your borehole, my brother and sister, it's your own borehole, private there, then you must use your own money, no interest money. It's haram to use interest money. Yes, you build a borehole there for the township where the people are really suffering and so forth, and you did it for their betterment, and now they broke it or it's damaged or whatever, then you use interest money, and you know that all the recipients there are poor and really needy. So when it's for public and in poor areas, then remember you use interest money. But for private use, you might, for your masjid, for your house, for your flats, there it must be your halal money and not the haram interest money. Haram means unlawful, and interest, you know, riba and viage and sood and whatever you want to call it. So interest is haram in Islam, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 275 to 279.
Mufti Sahib, the durood with the words Alfa Alfa Marra, is it to be recited on a Thursday night or on the day of Jumu'ah?
In Islam, you know that today is the 2nd of Safar, and tonight, Maghrib time, once the sun set, so that already ushers in the 3rd of Safar. So in a case like that, what will we say? We will say that whether you read durood Sharif, Salawat, salutations on Thursday night, you read Friday during the day of Jumu'ah, all are acceptable, there's no problem. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala in chapter 33, verse 56, Allah Allah commands us, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Verily Almighty Allah Jalla wala and his angels, they send salawat, salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ay iman walo, oh you believe, 89 times this phrase is used. Swallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima, read salat and salam upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma swalli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa habibina wa shafi'ina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, Thursday night after Maghrib, normally when I'm at home, then I send out one Durood Sharif, one Salawat, some the good Qari Sahib somewhere in the world. So in that way, to remind people, why? Authentic hadith mentioned in Ibn Majah, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us, Aksiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah. O Ummah, read abundant Durood Sharif. Durood Sharif. You know Durood Sharif? So Durood Sharif is Farsi. Durood is Farsi, Persian, and Sharif is Arabic. So why is it called Durood? Why our ustads, our teachers, our parents say, read Durood Sharif, beta, beti, O son, O daughter. When you know Iranian culture, you know Iranian language, Persian language, then when they have a farm and then they're expecting, anticipating a bumper crop, so that is called Durood. And it means in minimum time, I will make maximum amount of profit. P-R-O-F-I-T. So when we read Durood Sharif, Salawat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salutations upon the messenger, peace be upon him. 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, we read Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala dunya akhirat mein chamka denge. Allah Jalla wala will reward us in this world and in the year after. So Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commands us, increase the quantity of salawat, salutations, Durood Sharif upon me on a Friday. So whether you read it Thursday night, whether you read it Friday, all is acceptable. The greatest gift for the greatest of Allah's creation on the best day of the week, and that is Durood, Salawat, Salam. Call whatever you want to. So we should keep our tongue moist with that. And go read Fadail Durood Sharif of Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwalallahu Marqadahu, who is buried in Baqi. Go read Al Qawlul Badi by Allama Sakhawi Rahimahullah. Go read the books that are written, Subhanallah. So many different types of Durood Sharif. One day I was sitting in Masjid Nabawi. Shami, a person from Syria, Palestine, came and he was sitting in a long, big book. So my eyes, I glanced into his book. We both were facing the Master, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sitting there in the first serf. And then I told him, Sheikh, you composed this. Then he smiled. He said, yes. And it was wonderful praises upon Nabiul Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you know the linguas par excellence, how they compose poetry, how they compose the prose, and praising the Master, alayhi salam. So I asked him, Sheikh, indaka nuskhatun ukhra, you got another copy? So he said, take this copy, I got another one. So subhanallah, till today, people, when they go, that time you could sit there for hours and hours. Nowadays it's not like that. So anyway, you must remember, Allah protect Masjid Nabawi, Makkah Mukarramah, Masjid Al-Aqsa. So, and Allah Ta'ala protect us, inshallah, in this manner, that we have adab and respect and ishq when we show, when we go there as the Zaireen and as the guest of Almighty Allah and the guest of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, Durood Sharif, wonderful, wonderful, and more so on Thursday night, Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday and the day of Friday.
Isab, when is it sunnah to recite Ayatul Kursi?
Remember authentic ahadith in Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, various compilations you will find in Mishkat Sharif, you will find also. So you will find so many ahadith regarding Ayatul Kursi. So people said today, they say, you know, there's a gun and that gun is AK-47, you know. So that is AK-47. We say you must learn AK. Which AK you must learn? Ayatul Kursi. And what is that? that. So you must remember it's one ayat and it is AK-255. AK-255. So what is AK-255? Learn Ayatul Kursi of Muslim, male, female, adult and child. It's Sunnah and Nabawiyah. The Sunnah of Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you recite it after every first salat. Every time we read Zuhur Salat, you read Ayatul Kursi. After 2 hours, we will read Asr Salat, for example. So remember, then you read Ayatul Kursi after every first Salat. And thereafter, before you sleep, you read Ayatul Kursi. And whenever people got jinn problem, shaitan problem, and the doctor say it's a mystery, it's beyond them, they don't understand, then read Ayatul Kursi. You know the incident in Sahih Muslim, you will find a jinn incident it is. One day is Ramadan time, ending of Ramadan. Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed, designated Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, ya Abu Huraira. What must I do? Labbaik wa sa'adaik ya Rasulallah. You see, the people now, Eid al-Fitr will come in 2-3 days' time. So it will be first Shawwal. So the people will come with their sadaqatul fitr, zakatul fitr. They'll bring dates, they'll bring all. So you must be in charge. You must look after it. He said, well, very good. So that night while he's sleeping and you know all, suddenly he sees a person is stealing. He woke up, apprehended him. I'm taking you straight to the court of the Master, al-Islam. He pleaded and begged with him. Say, please, please, I got wife, I got children, I'm a pauper, I'm a beggar, I'm destitute. So Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu felt sorry, sympathy, empathy and left him. Next day, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Fajr used to ask, "Man ra'a minkum ar-ru'ya?" Who of you saw a dream or something, you know? So Nabi Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Ya Abu Huraira, what happened last night?" Obviously, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam received wahi revelation. "Ya Rasulullah, I was looking after that dates and everything, and this person wanted to steal." He said, "Don't worry, he's coming again tonight." Now Abu Huraira knows. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, chapter 53, verses 3 and 4, "Wama yantiqu anil hawa in huwa illa wahyu yuha." The Master alayhi salam don't speak of his own desires. It's wahi and revelation. So be ready, he's coming. Abu Huraira wide awake. And now he comes, he said, "I don't want all your..." He started crying even more and giving a lot of stories. So he said, "Okay, now you go." So the next morning, second time now, "What happened last night, Ya Abu Huraira radiallahu?" Said, "Again he came. So what you did?" He said, "That I felt sorry, sympathy, empathy left him." He said, "Again he's coming." Now third night. So now Abu Huraira said, "I don't want no excuse." So again he came, apprehended him, told him, "Now finished, I give you 3 chances, now you must come." So now he knew that is big trouble. He said, "Okay, I teach you something." Say, "What I'm teaching?" Say, "Read Ayatul Kursi and you will be protected from the attack, assault and waswasa and whisperings of shaitan. Learn AK-255, Ayatul Kursi, Surah Baqarah, verse 255, AK-255. So stronger, more powerful than AK-47. So the next day, he, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, says, "Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, and I said, this happened, but he told me like this." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Swadaqa wa wakadhub." What he said, that if you learn Ayatul Kursi, you read it, you will be protected from shaitan and the assault and whisperings of shaitan. But his normal habit is a big, big liar. But this, what he spoke, is the truth. You see, O Ummah, learn is the most powerful ta'weez. Read Qul A'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Read Ayatul Kursi. And you must remember, it's sunnah to read after first salat. It's sunnah before sleeping. And blow on your children. And inshallah, Allah Jalla wa'ala will protect all your flowers as well.
Jazakallahu khairan for that, Mufti Sahib. Well, already an hour into this afternoon's Q&A program. After the break, we continue with the second hour of this afternoon's Q&A program.